You're listening to KTOO News Juneau. The following is a broadcast.
We're live, we're local, and it's time for a Juneau Afternoon. Welcome, I'm your host, Julie Copins. It's Thursday, April 12th, and we are coming your way with engineer Jeff Brown on the board with me. I'll be joined later by UAS's Marnie Kaler to talk about Off to College Night. Juneau Pride Chorus's Lorraine Jones and new choral director Kathleen Wayne will be here to highlight their next concert and auction. This year's Alaska Folk Festival guest dance caller Susan Michael will preview festival dancing options, and Nancy DeCherney will outline the weekend's happenings with Arts Up. Those interviews, bird note, music, and more all coming your way on a Juneau afternoon. It's 50 degrees in the capital city. There's a chance of isolated showers after 7 p.m. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Hannah Colton in for Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal and political leaders in Washington, D.C. this week said President Trump's proposed 2019 budget sends a powerfully negative message to Indian country. In an oversight hearing for the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs Wednesday, lawmakers heard testimony about Bureau of Indian Affairs programs that face severe cuts or elimination. Aaron Payment is vice president of the National Congress of American Indians. He said Trump's proposed cuts show an unwillingness to uphold the government's trust responsibilities to tribes.
Many of the proposed draconian cuts in the draft budget threaten to limit or abrogate the treaty and trust obligation and is a clear retreat from the federal commitments made to tribes. Tribal parity should always be the driving principle for every federal department or initiative, including addressing the opiate epidemic and the building and repairing of our infrastructure.
Payment said while the NCAI is glad to see some increases for the Indian Health Service, they're alarmed by the proposed elimination of programs including the Indian Community Development Block Grant, low-income energy assistance, and tribal energy loan guarantees. Trump's budget would also do away with the Johnson-O'Malley Act, which subsidizes educational services for Native students, among other things. Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota slammed the Bureau of Indian Affairs, saying it's failed to advocate for enough funds for tribal law enforcement and public safety programs.
Fundamentally, keeping people safe has to be the highest priority. This cannot get ignored. Department of Justice needs to step up. BIA needs to step up if we're going to protect women and children in Indian country. And if we're not willing to step up, then let's just admit that they're second-class citizens. They aren't entitled to the same protection that other people in this country are entitled to.
Robert McGee, vice president of the United South and Eastern Tribes, also expressed concern about Secretary Ryan Zinke's mass reorganization of the Interior Department, which included nearly a dozen employees who are tribal members. The president's budget proposal is just a starting point. Congress will make the final appropriations. The Navajo Nation is the latest tribe to file a lawsuit over opioid addiction. The lawsuit, filed this week in U.S. District Court in New Mexico, points to more than 7,000 overdose deaths on the Navajo Nation from 2014 through 2016. The suit is aimed at prescription drug manufacturers and distributors. In a statement, Navajo President Russell Begay said the nation isn't going to sit back and let the community be torn apart by illicit and prescription drug abuse. The lawsuit points to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data that indicates Native children 12 and older use opioids for non-medical purposes at a rate double that of white children. Begay says Native Americans have disproportionately suffered during health crises for generations, and the opioid addiction epidemic is no different. Tribes in the Dakotas, Wyoming, and Wisconsin have recently filed similar lawsuits. Minnesota lawmakers are considering creating a task force to address the problem of missing and murdered Indigenous women in the state. The St. Paul Pioneer Press reported a House committee heard testimony Wednesday on the bill, which has broad bipartisan support. The Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women says while Native American women make up just 1% of the state's population, at least 9% of victims of domestic violence-related homicides are Native. The task force, with representatives from tribal governments and law enforcement agencies, would report annually to the Minnesota legislature. It would study systemic causes of violence against Native women and girls, how to better track and collect data, and how to resolve jurisdictional barriers. If the legislation is passed, the task force could start as soon as October. For National Native News, I'm Hannah Colton.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Law Offices of Sanofsky Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at www.sanofsky.com.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
And you're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm Julie Copins, and I'm joined in the studio first today by Marnie Kaler. She's the Director of Recruitment, Admissions, and Advising at the University of Alaska Southeast. Welcome to the program, Marnie.
Thank you.
And I understand we are going off to college tonight.
Absolutely.
Sounds like fun. Tell me about it. So this is an event that you host periodically on campus. What is it?
That is correct. So Off to College Night is an event for anybody who's thinking about college, and it does not have to be just the University of Alaska Southeast, though we do hope that you come to the University
sure.
of Alaska Southeast.
You're a little biased.
But just a little. But if you are thinking about going to an outside school, financial aid is going to be across the board. The free application for federal student aid, or the FAFSA, is a tool to get students aid money at any university, and so we can help you fill that out.
Oh, that's helpful. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And what other kinds of populations do you expect to come to this event? You probably have some teenagers who are approaching the end of their high school careers. Who else is showing up?
Absolutely. So high school juniors are mm-hmm. really invited, so that way they can start thinking about
right.
what they might need to do for their senior year coming up. So we'd like to have juniors. But we'd also love to have anybody in the community who's thinking about going back to school. If they're thinking about they need that extra certificate, that extra endorsement for their resume to build their career, to go further, we'd love to help them as well. So any age is welcome.
Okay. So this event is this evening, 5 to 8 p.m. On campus in the Glacier View Room, and that's in the Egan Building on
campus.
That is
correct.
Okay. So there will be, I imagine, some advisor types like yourself giving some advice on some of the different programs. You said something else about cake. Tell me about the cake.
Yes, we have fabulous lemon and strawberry cake. So, you know, choices for everybody.
Refreshments are always good to get people out there on a weeknight. Okay, that's great. And we were talking a little bit before the program about our own college experiences. I attended kind of your basic four-year bachelor's program. Like, that was what you were supposed to do back then. Your path was a little less conventional. Tell me what happened with you.
Absolutely. So I am a first-generation college student. That means that neither
wow.
of my parents actually held a bachelor's degree when I was off to college. And so they weren't quite sure what to do with me. And so I kind of found my own way. And I was a typical teenager and knew everything. So
right.
I found the perfect school that was absolutely the worst school ever for me. It was an out-of-state school. I went away for a year,
uh-huh.
didn't do the greatest. And so I found after that a community and technical college that worked great for me. And so I ended up doing a two-year degree, finished up with a bachelor's degree after that. So have an associate's degree, have a bachelor's degree, and actually now currently hold a master's degree from the University of Alaska Southeast. And
right.
so I can absolutely understand students out there who think that their dream school is going to be the perfect school. And if it's not, that's okay.
Right.
You can always come back home to Alaska. You can change your major. Sometimes if you think the major is perfect for you, you might not be so perfect once you get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would seem like, if I'm remembering back then, like, yeah, what's my major going to be? Where am I going to go? It seems like such a high stakes decision. Today, with the cost of college, it would seem even more so. So how do you allay that anxiety? Like, this is a huge investment in my earning potential and my career.
Absolutely. And so a couple of things is that, and there's also a lot of pressure for people to pick something right away.
Right.
You can pick something right away, and we don't prohibit that. But we also have something called undeclared, which actually allows you to come and take those major requirement classes that you have to take no matter what the degree.
Mm.
Similar to high school, that you don't get away from. You have to take a certain number of English classes,
there will
a certain
be math.
Number of math. Yeah, exactly. And UAS, I have to say, has the most amazing math professors.
Great.
Ever who absolutely care about their students. So math is not a scary thing at the University of Alaska
Southeast. Get you through, okay. Yeah. What about just being on a college campus? What are some things maybe that you said a high school junior might not appreciate or understand or be anticipating as they think about leaving their parents' home or wherever they're living and heading off to college?
Absolutely. There's a couple of things that you have to think about. We always encourage students to live on campus. Mm. Now, as soon as I talk to so many high school seniors who are like, nope, I'm going to go live on my own. It's going to be great. Well, then you don't realize that you have to pay for your own water and you have to pay for your own heat. And
groceries don't just
come into the refrigerator magically,
right.
And nor do they cook themselves. And so it's that having those extra skill sets. Where if you live on campus, we have a great cafeteria that has a wide variety of options, including gluten-free, vegan. We can accommodate you. And food is always there. You don't have to really budget that in as much. It's built into the cost.
Right, right. And time with food preparation is a huge factor.
Absolutely.
That I don't think even my own family appreciates sometimes. But
the food just magically appears. It's great.
Right, because you're in college. You need to be studying, and you have no idea what the load will be. Okay.
That's exactly it.
Excellent. All right. So you said, Director of Recruitment, Admissions, and Advising. So what are some curious UAS, it's if you grow up in Juneau, do you run into a little bit of I don't want to go to UAS because it's just the familiarity of it.
Absolutely. It's funny, but what I tell students all the time is it doesn't matter what's in your backyard. If it's always there and you drive by it every day or if you hear it all the time, then it's not going to be as appealing as something that is an exotic because you only heard of it once. And their beautiful brochures that they send you might be more appealing. But ask questions. So if there's a school that you have your heart set on, come and ask us. We have one of the most impressive marine biology programs around and a whole lot of really cool sea creatures with a building that is on the ocean that you can have that interactive experience. And so that's just one example. And so I tell students all the time, if you find something cool outside, come and ask us.
Right.
And we might
be
able to get that. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and even things like dorms and recreation facilities and all of that. What I've seen at UAS, I'm impressed. It's like, this is UAS.
Exactly.
Awesome.
We have a great student that is currently in the WAMI Medical School program in Anchorage after receiving their biology degree from the University of Alaska Southeast. So it is a great, you can become a doctor, you can become a lawyer, you can get your start at the University of Alaska Southeast. Just because we don't have every degree on the planet doesn't mean that you can't get those key pieces in place that you are successful for your next step.
Get started. And then the other cost part of the equation is the cost of travel to a university somewhere else. I think a lot of families, and especially students, don't take that into account. Every time you want to come home for Christmas or whatever, it's $1,000, you know, so... Okay.
Absolutely. And so having something close by is great. And that's why what we found is and why we started these off to college nights is that a lot of students, especially local students, because they drive by it every day, they haven't actually been on campus. And we do have 4-year bachelor's degrees. We do have 1-year certificates. We have a lot of different options. And so just come out and explore. And we promise we won't take a DNA sample of you and make you come to University of Alaska Southeast. Just kind of give us a chance and let us help you to whatever it is you want to do.
Wherever your path will lead. Excellent. Marnie Kaler, thanks so much for coming in today. And I hope you see a lot of young people and old people and college-interested people at the Egan Building Glacier View Room, 5 to 8 p.m. for Off to College.
Great. Thank you so much
for
having me.
Thanks for coming in. Bye.
This is Bird Note. These deep, guttural sounds are coming from a nesting colony of double-crested cormorants. Large black water birds with short legs and long necks. Look closely and you can see the bird's double crest, its two long, gloriously feathered eyebrows. When not nesting, double-crested cormorants are a common sight near fresh and salt water. They often sit upright on a rock or piling, holding their wings out to the side, resembling a black Celtic cross. During courtship, they may wave their outstretched wings. Why do they have such a limited and guttural vocal range when many birds create glorious songs? Well, it has to do with the number of muscles a bird can use to govern its vocal organ, the syrinx. The more you have, the more elaborate the sound. Many songbirds have 5 to 7 sets of these muscles. The cormorant has only one. You can see a cormorant and hear one and even watch it wave its wings, all on birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. Support comes from Sasquatch Books, announcing Bird Note, the book, full of illustrations and stories of 100 birds. More at sasquatchbooks.com.
Back to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Julie Copins, here in the studio now with a couple of musical ladies. If you hear singing in the background, that's because Leray Jones and Kathleen Wayne are here. They're with the Juno Pride Chorus. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for coming
thanks.
On.
Thank you. We'll save the singing for our concert that's coming up.
Okay, yes. I want to hear all about that. And you've got a special fundraising event coming up next weekend. First of all, let me congratulate you. Heard you on Folk Fest Tuesday night.
It was Monday night.
The first night you all just opened it all. It was beautiful. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
And Kathleen, you're new to being the choral director
for
the group.
Yes, I am. So that was kind of like the premiere of my conducting skills. Put it to the test.
Right.
Conducting's not just me. It's about the chorus and the conductor interacting and coming up with basically a language and a communication style. And I thought, we hit it off. We hit the Folk Fest off on a solid note.
Yes.
And we did a great job.
The ladies
did a great job.
I have to agree. Okay. So the Juno Pride Chorus, Leray, maybe tell me a little bit about its history and its mission.
Okay. It's the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus. Mm-hmm. And PFLAG stands for Parents, Friends of Lesbians and Gays, Family, anyway. All of those wonderful things PFLAG stands for. We're a women's chorus that is very, very supportive of human rights. And we have been singing. This is our 21st year.
Wow.
Marsha Buck helped found it back in 1997. And 3 years later, Leslie Wood took over as the director, and she was our director for 17 years. And now we have Kathleen Wayne, which we are thrilled about. She is just doing a great job.
Thank you.
Wow. And we know, Kathleen, we've seen you perform all around town. We know you're a wonderful singer. Mm-hmm. What do you hope that you've been able to bring to this group and how to kind of channel their energies and talents?
What I can bring is not conducting, but what I can bring is voice skills, voice technique. As you said, I'm a singer, sung with the Lyric Opera, Symphony, multiple groups around town, and as also an adjunct instructor at the university for several years. So my background is in vocal performance, and what I hear from the chorus is that they're liking the vocal instruction that I'm bringing to rehearsals, and they have even said they can hear themselves sounding different.
They sound better.
Yeah.
I don't know
if it's better, it's just different. You know?
It's a different layer to it.
So.
And it feels good. I imagine you've had maybe in rehearsal some light bulb moments of maybe it's just a small adjustment in posture or breathing creates a completely different sound.
We start out with physical exercises. I like to add physicality to the voice because the voice is not just the vocal box. It is, you know, head to toe, everything else in between. And so we do Tai Chi, we do basketball hoop shooting, we do all kinds of stuff to get that body ready to sing.
We chew gum while humming.
Not real gum, but imaginary gum.
I gotcha. I can see.
That's
articulators
getting things going.
Yeah.
And what about the repertoire? I'm sure that's something that makes this particular chorus unique. The songs that you choose to perform. Tell me about that.
We usually have a committee that chooses the songs, and we try to be on the cutting edge of progressive politics, whatever. One of the songs that we are going to sing, which we sang for Folk Fest, is Quiet, which was written for the Women's March back in January of 17. And very, very powerful song. Just powerful song. Justice, like I said, we're 21 years old this day, and so the theme of this one is Our Time Has Come.
Okay, so tell me, so when's the next concert coming up?
Our concert is next Saturday, the 21st.
Okay.
And the concert actually starts at 7:30, but mm-hmm. we have a silent auction starting at 6:30, so the doors will open then, and it will not just be the chorus. We have a performance speaker. We have the smaller ensemble group called the Pitch Hitters is going to do a small set.
And soloists
and
from the chorus.
Mm-hmm. From the chorus. So yeah, it'll be fun.
A great event.
It sounds like a night of uplifting music and then the auction if people mm-hmm. want to pitch in some support mm-hmm. beforehand. And that's all at Northern Light Church next Saturday mm-hmm. evening? Okay.
It is.
Is there a place, can people go online to get more details or to just get it in their calendar?
There certainly is notice on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And any member has tickets, as well as they're at Hearthside and the Jack and the usual places for tickets. So.
Right.
And we'll have tickets at the door, too. So.
Yeah. You know what I have to say as a listener, Monday night, hearing that song Quiet that you mentioned, and this was the one that at the end, the members held up some different march signs.
Like, that's right.
We've all been done on so many marches.
Yes.
It's a very politically active time, which is inspiring, but also shows kind of we're in some trouble here. But just the metaphor of a group of people, humans on stage, raising their voices, literally, and what that means symbolically, really just brought it home for me as a listener. Yeah. So I just want to commend you on that. It was a very powerful
Basically,
moment.
Basically, I can't keep quiet. Yes. I won't keep quiet anymore. Yeah.
Right.
That's the message of that song. Yeah. Mm.
I wonder for you, Kathleen, as an artist, and having participated in operas and concerts and other things, and it all, sacred music, it's all very meaningful and beautiful, but is there something about this music that speaks to you in
Absolutely.
A different way?
Absolutely. Why it was such a wonderful meeting of the universes when a friend of mine said, wouldn't you be interested in doing this position? It's like, absolutely yes, because I love singing. I love affecting people's hearts and souls and minds through music. And if that music has a message, oh my gosh, how much more better is that? So absolutely. I was looking for something to do for the community, looking for a pre-retirement activity. I'm retiring in a couple of years. And this just fit all my loves, music and an organization that's a real solid organization. Like Larry said, it's been around. And these ladies are committed and are just really performers. So I walked into this perfect situation of a choir that's established and wants to work.
That's great.
And we're also a family. We're a very supportive group of women. We love each other. It's great. And if anybody's out there that thinks they would like to sing with us, give us a call. Look us up on the website. We don't know when our practices will start in the fall yet. But let us know and get on our list, and we'll be sure and let you know.
Our season does end after the concert.
Okay, so you take a little break over the summertime.
A little break.
Yeah, we may be singing something for Pride Week in June.
I didn't know that.
Sing for Pride Week.
I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I
mean, well, what if I'm someone without any choral singing experience? Is this something that I can kind of learn as I go?
Sure.
Okay.
You do provide practice tapes, and there are sectional leaders that can help. I think there's many people that don't read music. Mm-hmm. They just love to sing, and so there's ways to help people learn their lines and learn how to, work within a chorus.
Right.
And their parts, yeah.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah. We have sectionals try to do those once a month that we get together at somebody's home and practice specifically on a part.
Okay. So you do harmonic singing, so it's not
yes.
Right. And you said you were an alto, Lorraine?
I'm an alto, yeah. Okay. I'm an alto, too. We have alto ones and soprano twos and soprano ones.
That was a funny song the other night about the altos finally getting to sing the melody.
The altos lament. Yeah, that's one of our fun ones. Yeah.
Fun. Okay. Well, I'm sure we can look forward to a wonderful night of music. That's Saturday, April 21st at Northern Light Church. Silent auction starting at 6:30 and the concert at 7:30. And so people can just buy tickets at the door or at the Jack, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else that we should know about the Pride Chorus or anything else you'd like to share?
Not that
we're both looking at each other. We just have so much fun. Yeah. Truly, as she says, it's a group embraces everyone, and we end our rehearsals with a circle song and support each other. And it's made a huge effect on my life, not just doing being the conductor, but also getting to know this group of women in our community.
Mm-hmm.
They're
what a
very
great...
strong, wise, wonderful mm-hmm. ladies.
Musical sisterhood.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, thank you both for sharing it with us today. And
thank you.
Good luck next weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. That was the PFLAG Juno Pride Chorus performing Monday night at Folk Fest. This is a Juno afternoon. It's 3:30, and I'm your host, Julie Copins, joined in the studio now by some other Folk Festers. I have one of the board members, Beverly Schoonover, and she's here to talk about some of the dances that are coming up starting tonight, I think, joined by Susan Michaels, who's one of the guest callers. Welcome, Susan and Beverly, to the program.
Thanks for having us on.
Okay. So for most of us now, we know what Folk Fest is. We go to Centennial Hall, we listen, we have a good time with the music, but there's this whole other thing happening over at the Jack, which are the dances. So tell me, Beverly, why, you know, kind of what purpose do the dances serve in the Folk Fest sort of a menu, and why are they a cool thing to check out?
You know, I haven't been on the board too long, so I don't know when they started, but I know when I moved here years and years ago, I was so shocked about what the dance fanatics in this town. I mean, we've got everything. We've got ballet. We've got, not marimba, but salsa. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are just dance fans. And I think that that was part of it, just to celebrate that. And we have a great partnership with folks in the community who come and call every year and volunteer. And we've got a great lineup this year. Everything's at the Jack. Mm-hmm. We do it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
Right.
And usually a huge crowd. It's very family friendly. It's open to all ages. Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite parts, actually, of
yes.
Folk Fest, because you can go sit and listen and be quiet in the dark in Centennial Hall, and then you could go across the way and
right.
boogie down all night long.
Right, and it's fun to see some of the same artists who perform on the main stage,
yeah.
maybe just do a shorter set or whatever, and then you see them really cut loose for the dance crowds over in the jackets. It's fun to see them maybe from a different angle. So, Susan Michaels, you'll be calling. Do you know which nights you'll be on?
I'm calling tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 10:20, and I'm also calling on Saturday night with the other guest artists, Ferris and Jason Romero, and I think about 9:00.
Okay.
And those are two full dance sessions. And then I'll be doing workshops on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Right. That's a whole other thing. There are ways to kind of learn about these, you know, dance forms and art forms. So as a caller, how do you define that? Of people that aren't familiar, what is calling?
Well, the kind of calling that I do is a little bit different than what you might think of if you're thinking of like a square dance caller, man, left with your left hand, yada, 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 you know, sort of rapid fire. More what I'm doing is I'm just prompting the dancers in a series of very simple figures. And I think of myself more as a facilitator of joy than as somebody that's being bossy or just sort of telling
right.
people what to do.
Right.
So I'm calling out the moves a little bit ahead of when they're supposed to be done in more of a prompting way. And so that's like the mechanics of it. But really, as a caller, what I'm doing is I'm allowing people to hold hands in a circle, make contact, eye contact, physical contact in a safe and beautiful way. And, you know, in an age when people usually have a phone in their hand.
Yeah, what do I do with my phone when I get up to dance?
You can put it on the stage if you want,
okay.
Or you can put it in your pocket, but you just can't be holding on to it. And in this day and age, that's almost becoming a radical idea,
yes.
to go back to the old-time, old-fashioned way of having fun.
Right, right. So I'm looking at the schedule now. So on Sunday, it looks like at 1:30, you'll be doing a workshop called, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the air, Bitchin' Dances, providing a safe environment to talk about pet peeves and group boo-boos using a suggestion box humor, dance games, and flowing squares and contras. So are there some kind of some do's and don'ts out on the dance floor?
There are. Most of the don'ts have to do with bringing your junior high school phobias with you to the dance.
Yeah,
you know,
we've all got
letting
those.
Go of that, letting go of preconceived ideas. And then the workshop is really going to be a safe place for people to say, you know what, it doesn't feel good when you alleman like this or when we swing like that. It's more for people that have experienced dancing before and just can have an opportunity to talk about things that they want to do to improve as a community. Because really what I'm doing is building community through dance.
Right.
And then on Saturday there's a workshop that's more about called Transcendent Transitions, that'll be about the flowing figures that move from one to the next in a way that you can really get your zen on.
Wow, that sounds great.
And
okay.
I have to say, Susan provided the board with a list of workshops she could do, and we had vast discussion because there was so many great things that she could offer the dance community here in Juneau.
Right, right. So how did this happen? Did you, like, 5 years old, think someday I want to be a dance caller? How did you get here?
Well, when I was 5 years old, I was very shy, but I was also a ham. And that was a really bad combination growing up. And then when I was 30, I just randomly was at a festival just like this one, but in California, and there was a How to Be a Caller workshop, and I wasn't busy, so I thought I'll give that a try. And almost instantly, I realized, wow, I can be a ham. I can perform, and no one is looking at me.
Interesting. They're all looking at their partners or
That's
their groups.
Right.
Okay.
And also, I love to be part of the music. And I never was very good at an instrument, but I was very good at bringing some personality and fun to the dance calling.
Right.
So it was a way to really participate in old-time music and this style of fun in a way that was really worked for me.
Right. Because there is musicianship involved in what you're doing, I'm sure. You know, even if you're not playing, plucking the strings, but it's musical.
Right. And because I'm working with the band. And, you know, you got to remember that the kind of music that is being featured largely at the Folk Fest is music that was never meant for concertizing. It was meant for dancing.
Sure.
So I really feel like I am part of the band, and I'm bringing the music the way it was meant to be enjoyed to everybody that comes to the festival.
Right. That makes me think, I wonder if there's a theatrical metaphor here, and that, you know, people talk about Shakespeare and that Shakespeare wasn't meant just to be read in books. It was meant to be performed. So to have a folk fest where it's just concerts, you're not really getting the real deal. You got to have the dances to really get it. So I love that.
Absolutely. I guess this means you're going to be coming to some of the dances.
I think that's a guarantee. What did I tell someone the other day? I folk fest like it's my job. So, and dancing is definitely part of that. Okay, so Beverly, you brought the whole schedule. So let's take a second now and do a full rundown of what nights and who's on.
Yeah.
And this is all at the Jack, right? And if you're driving and you can't make notes or whatever, they can go to the Alaska Folk Festival website and get the whole rundown. And that is akfolkfest.org.
And then before I go to the schedule, just a reminder that when go to our website and look at the workshops, because there are several dance workshops, both on Saturday and Sunday. And some of those happen in the Jack. And
some are over in Centennial Hall. Okay.
But for dancing tonight, 7 p.m., Sweet Sunny North, old friends playing happy tunes for old friends. Around 8:10, Escape from Brooklyn. Fusion contra dance music, highly danceable but not your usual square dance. Local band Rumblefish at 9:20. Red Hot and Ready to Rumble, old time. Outside Straight at 10:30, which is old time picking for good time dancing. We've got a couple MCs this year, which I think might be a new thing. Sally Donaldson and Odette Edgar.
How fun.
And then Friday, we start a little bit later because we start after the guest artist performs. And just a reminder, the guest artist is not performing tonight. They're performing tomorrow because they have babies. So tomorrow
to
night,
do that.
Friday the 13th at the Jack, we start at 9, and that's the Overby Family Band, which is a band from Sutton, Alaska, playing hits from the 20s and 40s, which should be very exciting jug band music with roots and folk. At 10 o'clock, Juno Soul, classic and contemporary soul music. And then at 11:20, Playboy Spaceman, which is gospel rock futuristic electronica magic.
Love those guys.
Libby Stringer and Andy Miller. So then on Saturday night, I think it's Najuzu Marimba. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Awesome band. Such a great soul-lifting band. I love them
Instant
so much.
Instant happy is what I call
Instant
them.
Instant infectious.
Yes.
Zimbabwe rhythms. At 8:10, Big Chimney Barn Dance, high-energy dance band burning down the house. And then 9:20, we've got Jason and Ferris Romero with our caller, Susan Michaels. And they go a little bit longer than the other folks, so they go to about 11.
Great.
And then wrapping up the dance bands at 11:10, we've got the Improbabilities. Roll up the rug, put down that jug, and get ready to flap your old-time dance music wings.
Too much fun. When do we sleep? Oh, next week.
Next week.
Great.
Week.
Okay. Anything else we need to know before we head out dancing? What about, like, what do I wear? Anything like that, or just preparation?
I would suggest Every time I go to the Jack for a dance, I end up just like, you know, taking off every layer. And yeah, I think that will probably be the same this weekend.
Okay, hydrate.
And we bought tons of cups. We bought 900 cups. We ran out of cups this year and people were dehydrated and sad. I'm trying to think of what else.
Well, wear comfortable shoes.
Comfortable shoes.
Okay.
And some people like to wear leather soled shoes that sort of slip on the dance floor. But I'd say that that's not as important as being comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I wear sneakers.
Okay.
And I just say anything but the kind of high heels or tight shoes that you might wear because you think that's what is good for dancing. I just be comfortable. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right.
And then we're emphasizing this year that we are family friendly, no alcohol, either at Centennial Hall or the Jack. Mm-hmm. And we want everyone, even folks in recovery or kids, to feel welcome and safe. So
come on down. And everything's free,
Everything's free.
That's amazing.
Yes. Great. And if you feel like chipping in, I'm the treasurer now. And so you can always throw money at us through the website, on membership. You can buy merchandise.
Yes.
We love your support. Everyone in Juneau and who comes to the festival are amazing at supporting this event.
Right. Yeah, step into the circle and become a member. Yeah. Great. Thank you, ladies. We'll be dancing with you this weekend. See you there.
Hello, this is Stephen Pfister, Facility Manager at Centennial Hall, part of the CBJ Parks and Recreation. Centennial Hall, Juneau's convention center, located in the heart of downtown's Willoughby District, is an important economic generator in our community, hosting a variety of events with over 80,000 people attending each year. Events include the Alaska Folk Festival, Celebration, and a variety of conventions, conferences, and fundraisers. For more information, call 586-5283 or visit our website at centennialhall.net.
KTOO is supported by listeners like you and by Breezin, where Chef Moorhead offers a large selection of hot breakfast items, burritos, and daily lunch and dinner menus for takeout at the Lemon Creek Breezin or online at breezin.com.
Welcome back to A Juneau Afternoon. You were just hearing some great down-home dance music that you can enjoy dancing to out at the Jack this weekend for Folk Fest. And coming across the street from the Jack right now is Nancy DeCherney. Welcome to the program, Nancy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, it's all kind of exciting over there.
It is crazy.
Everywhere, all over town.
So,
tomorrow morning, of course, it is the coffee and jam session.
Fun.
And that's dancing all day. But this evening, there's a Juneau Audubon Society Spring is About Birds thing out at UAS Rec. And also Theater at Latitude 58 is presenting the Phantom Tollbooth.
Oh, great.
I love that book.
I do, too.
Yeah,
it'll be fun to see it on stage.
Yes. And speaking of on stage, this is your last weekend to see Cyrano de Bergerac. And I have to say, this is one of the best.
Don't miss it.
This one hits all the right spots. So do go see it.
There's romance. There's sword fighting. There's
laughter. There's sadness. Yes. There's all of the things. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautifully done. Yeah. Go there. All right. Then there is, 9:30. There's Folk Fest Behind These Swinging Doors at the Red Dog Saloon tonight. So go there. Gustavus Health Coverage Assistance is happening tomorrow morning at 8. There's a Coast Guard scholarship information thing. Rumblefish is at the bookstore. Rainy Retreat at 5 o'clock. Theater at Latitude 50 does the Phantom Toll Booth again. And they're doing these things at McFeeters Hall. So right. You can get the tickets from all the Hearthside Books or at us or online or whatever. There's on Saturday, there is a Mustache Dash.
A Mustache Dash.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's at 9 in the morning, Mendenhall River Elementary School. You can pre-register at the Alaska Clubs, Pavitts, and Nugget Outfitter. Or it's a fundraiser for the Mendenhall River School playground equipment.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so you should do that. I don't know whether you have to have a mustache.
Yeah, what if we're kind of facial hair challenged or we just got waxed? I mean, I don't know. Bad timing for me on that one. But.
So in that case, you should go to the Norwegian breakfast at the Yacht Club.
That sounds great. I love a Norwegian breakfast.
Me too. This is a cultural scholarship fundraiser. There's sour cream waffles, egg supreme, egg sausage, hash brown, all sorts of stuff, and music with Dale Wygant.
Nice.
And friends. So that will be fun. Second Saturday market out at the Airport Mall from 10 to 3. And, you know, I know that the little produce place has stuff out there. I've been getting some produce from them. It's wonderful. So make a point of checking that out. March for Science and Education at the Capitol Building on 12:30 to 1:30 on Saturday. Join some of the Juno's smallest musicians and brightest scientists at the Capitol steps to show Alaska legislators that we care about funding schools, science, and our children's future. Encouraging science costumes of any and all sorts. So you can go on to our website at jahc.org or to ktoo.org and get the details because there's some links there.
Gotcha.
From 1 to 4 is the 7th Annual Liars and Fiddlers Consort. It's down at McGuire's. Falsehood Foretold, charlatans, mountebanks, horn swagglers, and four flushers are welcome.
Wow, okay. Sounds like all my old boyfriends.
Okay, then. That's why they're old, huh, I guess.
Yeah.
There's AWARE volunteer training on Saturday. There is another matinee and an evening presentation of Phantom Tollbooth. There's the Songwriters Showcase at 3 to 6 in the Heritage Downtown Cafe. Skate Club is doing their spring show, Beyond the Stars, at the Treadwell Arena.
Oh, that is always a fun show. The skaters are amazing, those young people.
It is 3 and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Project Playground Operation Family Fun Night out at Thunder Mountain. $20 per family, lots of activities. Bring a 100% cotton t-shirt and create your very own one-of-a-kind Ice Castle t-shirt. There's Reach's 40th anniversary party at the Elizabeth Paradovich Hall. Evening of music, food, and merriment. There will be a drawing for 2 Alaska Airlines tickets and some other things. Music by DJ Manu. You can get your tickets by calling Reach. It's at 7 p.m. And then there's more Folk Fest things, High Cost of Living. Gamble is at Red Dog at 9:30 at night. There was just a question about that. So
so you can catch Costa. This is going to be at the Red Dog.
She's going to be there. And Folk Festival or the Phantom Toll Booth on Sunday at 2. And let's see. Free King Salmon Symposium on Monday. We'll get back to business here after Folk Fest. It's at... doesn't say where it's at. Oh, Centennial Hall. And that runs from 6 to 9 p.m. on Monday. There's some other sort of things like that. Pillars of America's speakers begin.
Oh, that's starting. Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're going to be 3 of them, and they do them on Wednesdays. The first one is Todd Houston. This is from 11:30 to 1:20 over at Centennial Hall. And you can get the tickets at Hearthside Books or contact a Rotarian.
Okay.
Let's see. The Jensen Olson Arboretum is having their annual meeting. on Wednesday at 5:30. There's a Reentry Coalition community meeting at from 6 to 7:30 at Centennial Hall. And Latitude at 58 presents She Kills Monsters. And that's at McFeeters Hall, so I guess I'll be doing that. That one, by the way, McFeeters Hall, the light board was stolen. And so there'll be fundraiser. One of these performances is a fundraiser, and that is the Wednesday night one to help replace those. Light boards are not inexpensive.
That's great that they're going to do that.
Very sad situation. So that's kind of what we have. I hope to see you over at the Jack dancing and carrying on or at the concerts. And don't miss Cyrano.
Absolutely.
And don't miss the Phantom Toll.
Don't miss any of it.
Don't
clone yourself. Well, yes. Nancy, thank you so much for coming in. And again, the website, jahc.org. That's where people can go to get all the details on all those great events. We'll see you next time.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2018 Juno Jazz and Classics Festival, with events you know and love, including Strings at the Shrine, Puttin' on the Ritz, and this year, Jazz and Classics has added a classical brunch cruise. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and online at jazzandclassics.org. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics.
And thanks for listening today to A Juno Afternoon. I'm Julie Copins, and I've enjoyed spending this hour with you. On tomorrow's program, Friday, Andy Klein will host the show. He'll be joined by John Hatton to explore the state of CD sales in America. Mark Whitman will explain the benefits of the moral compass. Annie Bartholomew will preview Friday night's KXLL Folk Fest Showcase. We'll meet Jason and Ferris Ramiro, the Alaska Folk Festival's guest artist, and Paul Douglas and Mark Pusick. I'm probably mispronouncing that, Mark. I apologize. Both trustees of the Douglas Dornan Foundation Fund. They'll tell us about applying for grants. So be sure to tune in tomorrow, 3 p.m. on KTOO and 4 p.m. on KRNN. Thanks for joining us.
This broadcast is sponsored in part by Ron's Apothecary at the Mendenhall Mall. Serving Juneau since 1978, Ron's Apothecary is providing medication information, nutritional supplements, and homeopathic remedies. More information at ronsapothecary.com.
just this morn. Got a letter just this morn. Read it only when she had left. The words were spared, they took not long. Here I wait for her at home. When the day will never come, I'll read the letter and I'll know she's gone for good. Many long days have I been true to my heart.